Welcome to Season 3 of Inflammation Nation. My name is Tara Regan. Inflammation Nation is a podcast from Arthritis Ireland aimed at increasing awareness and understanding of arthritis and related conditions. I am delighted to welcome Dr. Yvonne Codd and Aoife McCoy to this episode of our podcast where we're going to talk about parenting and arthritis. Yvonne is an assistant professor in occupational therapy at Trinity College in Dublin, and she's worked in the clinical area of rheumatology for over 20 years. Aoife was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis shortly after her 18th birthday. Aoife is a busy mum to her son TJ, who is 4 years old. You're both very welcome to the podcast, and I'll start off with you, Yvonne, if we can. Yvonne, I suppose parenting is one of the most rewarding and important roles that many of us take on in our lives, but even at the best of times it can be very challenging, never mind if you're living with a chronic condition. Can you tell me a little bit about what occupational therapy is and the role that that would play for somebody with arthritis?
Sure. Thanks, Tara. So occupational therapy is a healthcare profession and we're regulated by CORU. And occupational therapists are trained to understand and treat the visible and invisible symptoms that can come with chronic conditions and look at how these symptoms affect the person's function and how they manage in their home life, their work life, their social roles like parenting that we're talking about today and relationships. So we really look at those visible symptoms like heat and swelling and stiffness or joint restrictions on moving and doing. And we're also looking at the invisible symptoms like pain and fatigue and low energy and maybe stress or worry and anxiety and poor sleep. And from that OT perspective, we're really trying to meet the person where they're at in their lifespan, where they're at in their stage of life and where they're at with their condition. And maybe how they're managing the doing that they need to do and how they're enjoying the quality of how well they're able to engage in those roles. An occupational therapist would be really trying to help people figure out what it is they need to do and want to do and tailoring support and interventions to help boost ability and confidence and their own self-management as well.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And Yvonne, I suppose you've been involved in a research study into the impact of early inflammatory arthritis on parenting participation, such as everyday activities, delegation of parenting roles to family members. Could you tell us a little bit more about the study and its findings?
Yeah, thanks a million. So we know that the symptoms of chronic conditions impact on all aspects of a person's everyday life. But the whole element of parenting hasn't really been widely considered. There were a few papers that had looked at people who had arthritis before they became parents, but nobody had really looked at parenting of people who were parents first and then went on to develop a type of an inflammatory arthritis. And I thought that was really relevant because drug therapy has really changed over the years, and that's fantastic, and it means that there are a lot more improved rates of remission. But we know from the studies on work and employment with arthritis that even with early medical management and early drug therapy, arthritis can still have an impact on participation. So I wanted to see, well, what was the impact early in the disease for people who developed inflammatory arthritis? So we did a qualitative study. We did one-off interviews with 24 people who had a new diagnosis of inflammatory arthritis, and they were all parents before their diagnosis, and some of them were parents to children up to as old as 21 years of age. What we found from the findings is that even in that early stage of disease, and the average length from diagnosis was 17 months, but the first kind of major theme was altered capacity was a really big issue for this group of people. And they talked about how physically they found it hard to do the things they used to do. And they talked about those everyday mammy activities, those nurturing roles of caring and doing breakfast and doing the school runs and doing the homework, and that they weren't physically able to do that at this early stage of disease. And then they also talked about the kind of psychosocial impacts and how their capacity emotionally was affected because they didn't have the energy to do the things they always did. And they really talked about feeling guilty that they didn't have that emotional capacity, particularly with things like play and that kind of capacity to play. And one of the other big findings from the study was that the participants talked about how their relationship with their child had changed. And that really came from the fact that because their capacity changed, they couldn't engage in the same way as they had done before. And they really talked about how they weren't the parent that they used to be or that they thought they would be in the future, and that having to delegate some of the duties that they did to other people was something that really was a burden for the people who spoke to us in the study, and they didn't like having to delegate or that sense of being forced to delegate, and that was something that really was upsetting for them. And then the third thing that they talked about was how their perception of themselves as a parent was different now. And they were really conscious of how their children saw them as a parent and whether they were able to physically do the things they needed to do or whether they were emotionally had capacity to it. And they talked a lot about their identity as a parent and what am I a parent if I'm getting other people to do things for me. And because of that, they were always trying to talking about how they were minding them their pain from their children because they didn't want that to be something they were really aware of. And then the last thing that came from the findings was a fear of the future. And that was something that was different for the men in the study rather than the women. The other themes were really across the gender spread. But the fourth theme, the men in the study who were parents were much more conscious about their identity as a parent was very linked to their identity of being a breadwinner and being a financial provider in the family home. And they were worried about, well, if I can't work, how will I be a parent if I'm not providing for my family? And that was something that they were really concerned about. And I suppose in a clinical practice level for us, it really, I suppose, put the spotlight on the fact that healthcare services, clients' priorities around roles needs to be considered in tandem with medical management. Early in disease, we're trying to get the drug therapy right. We want people in remission. We want symptoms under control. But participants in our study told us that they really want help with all aspects of living well with arthritis and that parenting was one of those aspects that they wanted to have included in healthcare.
Okay. Wow. You know, it's obvious from that study that it had such a significant impact on parenting and people's emotions around parenting and the knock-on consequences of that. If I could turn to you, you had established rheumatoid arthritis when you became a parent and now you're a busy mum to a young son, TJ. Can you tell me a little bit about how your arthritis had impacted on your life since you become a parent and the day-to-day challenges that you experienced in the early years, but also now on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, sure. Hello. So I had arthritis for about 10 years before I had my son. So it was well established. It was actually well managed. I was on a great combination of drugs and in my mind, I thought of it as very well managed. I had done all the courses. I was very affiliated with Arthritis Ireland and all the things that they do. So I was ready to have a child. But then the realities of having a child was completely different for me. I didn't realise how much help I'd need in a physical aspect, emotional, social. I needed more than what normal people would need. You know, I needed more family support, like all day, every day. I needed my husband to help me with things that I thought that a normal mother should be able to do. So, you know, it was very hard emotionally in a time when I suppose women are going through a lot of emotions, you know, the postpartum kind of era and, you know, your hormones going all over the place. So it was very hard in that way.
And Yvonne, then, we know everyone's journey of parenthood is very individual and personal to them. What recommendations did you make about support and healthcare interventions because of the study? You know, do you feel that there is enough support out there for parents who live with arthritis?
Well, no, I suppose, is the truth. And I think the fact that like parents in our study said they really want this type of support is so actually such a powerful finding for us, because this is not part of traditional healthcare, but it really our study participants were telling us that this is what they would like to be part of healthcare. And I suppose what I would say in terms of the kinds of things that people were telling us that would be helpful or kind of findings that would be helpful for anyone listening to think about is, I suppose, firstly says all parents need help. Parenting is a really hard job. And they do say it takes a village to raise a child. And I think that that's something that's important for us to remember at times when we are thinking about guilt and stress and worry and that it's okay to, and it's important to think about the support networks that you have and leaning into those networks that you have, be they your partner, your family, friends, Arthritis Ireland, as Aoife has said, if you're linked in with you know, mother and toddler groups, or the friends that you came, you got through your children's friends and their family, and lean into those supports where you can, and think about your own individual situation, your age, your health, the stage that your children are at, and the kind of self-management strategies that you have been using before, and how they can apply to parenting. And I would always say to people to think about, have a think about what's the most important part of parenting for you in the now. And that depends on the age of the child and the stage of the child, because they keep growing and getting bigger and changing interests. But have a think about what do you want, what's really important to you to be able to do now. And some people say to me, I want to be able to make the school lunch. That's part of what I do. Or I want to read the bedtime stories. Or I want to be the one standing on the edge of a pitch, shouting as the tackle goes on. But then plan for these tasks, and plan within your capacity. And planning, I suppose, gives you the option to plan for success. And don't be afraid to delegate some tasks to people at your choice rather than a forced delegation, which is what our participants talked about. If you sit with the plan and think about it, then you can say, well, to do this, I'll delegate that. And that sense of control is really important in terms of the burden piece for yourself. And I think it's really important as well to give yourself permission to do your best and know that it's good enough, and to not hold that kind of pressure on yourself, and to think about what you want to do and what you need to do, and to be confident in knowing your body and your condition and what works for you, and to draw from the skills that you have already, but apply them specifically to parenting tasks and roles and routines, so that you are more likely to feel happy in your how you're managing, and maybe know where you need a little bit more help, and feel able to ask for the help, because I think we all need help with the job of parenting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, yeah, I think what you say there about planning is really important. And then, you know, but when you want to have help, look for it, not have it forced on you. It's, that's really important, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think all of us look for help from parents. As parents, we do lean into people, but in the study, people felt that that was now a bad thing, whereas they didn't always realise we do that in life sometimes, don't we, just to get things over the line.
I think with coming to terms with having arthritis, a lot of it is acceptance. So when you accept that there are things, so like, for example, what I do is I have a plan A, which is me doing everything, and then there's a plan B. So I'll always plan for everything. So I might ring one of the grandparents and say, are you around tomorrow to collect my son if I'm not able, or could you bring him to practice, or, you know, just to have those contingency plans so that I know that if I wake up, because with arthritis we don't know what we're going to feel every day, so if I wake up and I know I can't drive my car that day, someone is there for him. He's not going to miss out. And as a parent, that's what we all want. We just want our kids to have every opportunity that we can give them, I suppose.
That's great advice, I think. Great. Aoife, is there anything that you wish you had known before you became a parent that would have helped you to prepare for it? I'm thinking about things like self-management programs, different exercises. I'm sure there's a whole host of things.
The exercises, definitely, because when I had my child, I couldn't lift him up for the first, I'd say, about 2 weeks until I went back to my rheumatologist and all that. But I just didn't have the upper body strength to lift my child. And he wasn't that big of a baby, but I couldn't lift him out of the cot. So luckily, my husband and family were nearby. So they used to have to come and pick him up for me in the mornings. And I would have to hold him for the rest of the day, just because I couldn't do that action of picking him up and putting him down. Like, my wrists just couldn't take the weight. So to have the knowledge of what would be feasible for me to do beforehand would have been a great advantage. You know, everyone talks about the stuff of having family around and having food in the freezer, but for people with arthritis, we need to let each other know. You're not gatekeeping anything. Like, we need to just be real with each other. And, you know, like Arthritis Ireland, we have a forum on Facebook, and we have one specifically for pregnancy and parent-related topics. And they're things that we really try and get the message across of what's going to be needed on a day-to-day basis. You know, so I don't think there's any specific things, but I think I have used a lot of the things that I've learned in the Living Well with Arthritis courses, and just put them across to parenting. So the toolbox that we had in Living Well with Arthritis and your goals and things like that. And I, even without thinking, just before this podcast, I had to sit down and think, and I didn't realise that I had used those toolboxes. I had put it into, like, because as a parent, we put our own wants and needs aside, and it's your parent. So now it's my parenting toolbox, and that's absolutely fine. Of a 4-year-old, he comes first. But so, you know, just to have that parenting toolbox, and as I said, the planning, and, you know, that's one of my huge tools that I use is planning. Like, I'll always be early, because it gives me time to take a deep breath or to slow down or to go for a cup of coffee if I need to. So things like that. You know, if I'm bringing my son to practice, I'll probably be 10 or 15 minutes early because I'll know that I can get a parking place that's close by, or I can, you know, take a stroll in. I don't have to be rushing because it's just so stressful. Never mind the physical incapacities. It's just so stressful for anyone. Never mind me.
Yeah, I think that planning as well, it gives you that extra time to prepare yourself.
Yeah, and as Yvonne was saying, it's giving yourself back that control. It's saying, I've decided who I want. It's not just going, oh, who can help me? It's, I've decided that I want my mom to come and collect him, and I know that he's comfortable with her. And like, I know that you were saying about like missing out and stuff like that, but I am so glad that my son has a great relationship with his grandparents. And like, he sees, like, he gets minded by them each probably twice a week and might stay over like once in a while. And that's what I really want. So I don't see a problem with that, but I can see where it could be if you're getting minded by strangers and stuff like that. But as you say, it takes a village, and anyone that can help you be a better parent is someone that you need in your life. Like, so.
That's great advice.
And I think even the way you're saying about going to training and getting there earlier so you have the car parking space, that's also looking at the environment. So you're also thinking about what's the space going to be like. I bet you're thinking about the footwear that you're wearing. Yeah. I bet you're making sure you're warm if you're going to be. So kind of looking at all those environmental factors in the different parts of parenting, whether it's the right type of cot choice for a little baby that you don't have to bend in and lift for, and then as they get bigger that they can do a little bit and you can do a little bit, and that kind of how those different factors across cot changing, nappy changing, feeding, bring into football, manage it, like thinking about the space and layout and the different like tools for the job. But kind of it's being thinking about the steps that go with the activity so that you feel I'm fine here now, rather than I hope I'll be okay. Because if you're feeling I hope I'll be okay, that's extra pressure as well, which can be something as well. And I suppose the other thing that I'm hearing you say that I think is really important too is the relationships that our children get to have with other people can be really powerful in being a network and a support to them. But it also helps you have space to be well too, because hopefully that's the chance for you to mind your condition and to be well or take rest or spend time with others, which you also need. And the more you feel well, the better the emotional capacity, even if physically some things are difficult. But if emotionally you're minding yourself, then the resilience is a bit less tested, which is what I suppose is good to talk, as you said, talk about these things, because all parenting can be difficult, and it's okay to say this bit's hard, or how do you manage that, or did you know that, you know, learn from each other the tricks and have, here's advice that may be relevant to you, but know that everybody's different and every child is different too, I think.
But there's different things, especially nowadays, like we're 2023, there's bedside cots, there's exactly. So many things that you wouldn't think would help you. Like, they're not advertised as being mobility friendly or anything, but they're so helpful. Like, that bedside cot saved me so much, being able to just soothe my child instead of having to get up and go out of the room. And oh, so bedside cots and little bouncers and even Just Eat vouchers and absolutely everything, you know, can help you. You just have to just change your way of thinking slightly, not completely differently, but just change your way of thinking a little bit to see how can that help me in my everyday life. And sometimes it's even asking a question of someone that you've maybe met in the Live and Well course or on Facebook in our lovely forum. So there's ways, there's that social like village, as you say, but I'm still waiting on the number for that village.
But you're right, if you know the things that are difficult, then probably you'll solve the problem. But sometimes we're so busy in the problem trying to get out of it that we don't think which bit is hard. Even think about you holding your little baby when he's probably tiny and then getting bigger and heavier on your wrists, whereas the likes the feeding cushions would just mean you're not having to hold him, you're able to kind of support him in position.
I actually wrote that down because I was saying, you know, so even the things like the bedside crib and the bottle making machine, breastfeeding cushion, things like that will help you in your everyday life and you wouldn't just automatically think of it.
Yeah. And even as they get bigger, looking at where they can do for themselves. So, you know, not all children, but many children enjoy being part of making their own lunch. Yeah. So you're teaching them a life skill, but maybe you're also taking some of the pinching, pulling of opening packets that can hurt your joints out. So bringing them into activities in a way that it's a shared piece is an option. Or if bedtime stories are your thing and holding the book is really hard, you might be combining it with you read a page, I read a page, you hold the book, I read, or tonight we listen to an audio book, or, you know, there's different ways depending on the personality of the child. So it's just going, it's okay to have a think about this, but the first thing is to say, what's hard and what about it
identify
is hard
it,
and then you'll find the fit that fits your family, and I do think that bit's really important. Nobody needs to be told this is exactly what you do, because every house is different, every parent is different, every child is different, but it's the permission to hear the ideas and to pick out of the toolbox, like you said, this fits my age and stage and choice, I think is really important.
Great. I mean, they're great workaround solutions that you can find to those everyday challenges. They're really fantastic ideas. Yvonne, we spoke a little bit earlier about the study that you're involved in and recognising the role that men living with arthritis have and the challenges that they have as parents. And I know we mentioned a lot about the financial security. There are other issues as well that males parents will encounter as well with arthritis, thinking about even the physical challenges for them. I think a lot of dads are expected to play football or to lift up their kids and swing them around and, you know, really engage in that kind of boisterous sort of activity.
Sporting play. Those masculine, perceived masculine roles were different in the men and women in the study, both from the breadwinning point of view and being that provider piece, which I find very interesting in today's world, that they felt that burden more than the females who shared their thoughts with us. But also that kind of rough and tumble play and how to manage. And I think, again, that comes down to what your needs and wants are and what your capacity is in the moment. Planning activities so that you're able to manage, but also keeping yourself well. Like somebody whose condition is in a good space has more physical ability and more emotional capacity to do. Not being afraid to combine activities. So like play becomes exercise, and some dads would have said to me, we all go to the pool together and that's my exercise and they're fun. Now, that would be my personal idea of torture. But that's why we're all different. So it's not being afraid to see, well, what's the good fit for me? And sometimes it's a bit like, Aoife, you were saying, like doing your exercises, using heat, doing your stretches, being ready for the job that you're doing, even if it's going down to the foot, having the right football gear, you know, having got nice flexible supportive shoes, being warm so that you're not, you know, it's not as difficult as something. So you're minimizing the challenges, not necessarily alleviating them, but you're doing the workarounds as much as you can is important. The dads talked more than the mums, only in my study, about that burden piece and that worrying piece. And I think that's something that is important for us to think about in healthcare and services, that sometimes, and not again everybody, women are more likely or more comfortable to open up more easily. I think men are well able to open up and discuss, but they just might need a different forum to do that sometimes, or a bit more space or time. And just that sensitivity to that is something else that I think is important just to recognise when we're working with all people. And on the Facebook forum, the advice around, the point I was trying to make was around the fact that how help is presented has an impact on how helpful it can be. I guess that was the piece, just to kind of recognise that, and that men also worry, and men also feel the burden of protecting family and children and partners, and to be sensitive to that as well, and to give permission to share feelings and to make it a comfortable space to talk about is important.
Okay. And do you think that men, were they happy to accept help, or was that different to the women who were studied?
In my own work, the male voice was low, and it's something I'd like to do more about. But the men in my study more prioritised parenting interventions. When I asked what would be helpful, their priority was more around help me stay in work to be the breadwinner. That was the first piece, whereas the women were more interested in saying, help me enjoy the here and now and the day-to-day stuff. I want to be able to do the day-to-day things. They're the interventions I want. So the men in our study prioritised work, breadwinning, providing, and then later down that list wanted the other pieces, but their focus was different.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And Aoife, I suppose in terms of those day-to-day activities, you know, and the fun activities, do you ever feel guilty, or is there a certain amount of guilt associated with not being able to get involved in some activities? Like, you might have a flare, you might be unwell, you know, how do you manage that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of guilt, but I think mammy guilt is something we're all going to have, whether you are absolutely incapacitated or you're at the best of your health. So just accepting that we all have it, just in different amounts, is a huge thing. For me, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but it's about planning. If I know that, so my four-year-old is about 30 kilos and he's about half the size of me already. So he's always been a very rough and tumble boy, loves his sports, loves his wrestling, loves everything active that I would never thought I'd be able to do. But when I plan, and if it's a case, if I go for a nap and then we go and play football, or his dad might take him out for a little walk and I sit down and have a cup of tea, so that I can give him a bath and do all that kind of stuff. So it's about planning, and again, using the people around me. But even after all of that, there's still a huge amount of guilt, because he knows that mammy's not well or mammy's sore today. So I hate having to say that, but sometimes it's just necessary, because, you know, if he's going to be rough with me, or, like, you know, sometimes I can't get down on the floor and do a jigsaw, but you just have to do what you can do. So I choose the games carefully. I don't just buy them whatever, you know, is popular at the time. I do like a big jigsaw so that I can sit down for a lengthy space of time, and I have a little stool that I sit down on, and he even goes and gets the stool for me and says, come on, we'll do a jigsaw. Like, so it's not a case of I'll be up and down in 10 minutes. It's we're going to sit down for half an hour, an hour, and then we'll go and do something else. Or so they're long games that I try and do with him. But yeah, there's definitely still a huge amount of guilt. Even the best planning in the world won't allow for some amount of guilt.
And yet you're describing lovely moments of connection with you, the two of you together, because yeah. I imagine his little self going off to get the stool and busying the environment, and then the finding the pieces and the mm-hmm. chat as it comes together. So yeah. While you're adapting the environment and you're thinking about the task, you're planning for lovely moments together. Yeah. And you probably hear about everything as well as the jigsaw, the day and who did what and what happened. And that's the bit to say, look how when you do plan and you do consider and you work within capacity and you work within wants, and yeah. you the connections are what you want. So you're setting yourself up for success. And yeah. I think that's absolutely brilliant idea.
But I have to say, like, it's not like, you know, I'm pro and it came all of a sudden to me.
Yeah.
I learned what worked for him. Like, so when he started doing jigsaws, I was like, oh, hey, he actually likes doing jigsaws. And this doesn't kill me to sit down on a little stool on the floor. So maybe if I got bigger pieces once, he'll stay for a bit longer and I won't have to be getting up in 10 minutes to bring him to the toilet. Like, he'll focus for a bit longer and it's helping him. So I'd rather him do that. Or I don't do things like Play-Doh or colouring, because I have really bad problems with my like arms and hands. So things like that like would really hurt me to do. So I try not to do it. Like obviously he does it himself, but I don't really do that with him or colouring. Like I can't hold a pen myself, so I'm not going to help him do colouring. But I know he does that stuff in school, in creche and everything. So it's not like he's missing out on it. But I've learned the things that I can do with him. Or if we're going to play football, we go to an area where there's a bench beside and I'll be the goalkeeper in the goal and he'll try and kick it in under the bench and things like that, you know. So it's just learning when things go right, I'm like, oh, wait, hold on, I'll keep doing that. Yeah. Rather than it just came to me all of a sudden, I suppose.
And that's your toolbox.
Exactly. You don't even realise you're using it.
And I think also you're kind of explaining how you've tapped into his interests and matched them to yours. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that's really good. If it's a child who likes Lego, that they can pull the Lego box over to where you are if you need to be on the sofa, if you need to be taking a rest, that they can work with you and show you the things. Or I'd say to people, have a little like treasure box of the interactive books if they're smaller with the lights and that are easy for you to manage and them to do. And it depends on the children, because some parents would say to me, well, I just get out the sticker books and she'll sit beside me and she's happy out.
Yeah.
And then another parent would say, wouldn't even slow down to pass it. So it's trying to see. And even if sometimes it is a day when pain is high or energy's low, that it's okay to say, let's watch a movie and snuggle down together. And it's kind of that confidence to go, today this is a good fit. And today this is still connection and this is fun and this is a chance for the chats. And I have the capacity to do this, but not the physical capacity to be Ronaldo.
Because sometimes with living with arthritis, you have the mental capacity, but not the physical capacity. And sometimes it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Sometimes my body will be feeling great, but I am so fatigued that I can't keep my eyes open. I can't have a cognitive conversation with my four-year-old. And so if I can't keep up a conversation with a four-year-old, I know that I can't do much. So that's the days that, you know, he'll watch cartoons or he'll do a magazine himself or things like that. So it's not all about the physical aspects of it. Sometimes you're just dog tired and you just need to lie down, and you know, it's just about balancing that. Normal parents have that too. We live in Ireland. Most days you're not going to be able to go outside and play football. You're going to have to do an indoor activity. So we all have those toolboxes where, right, it's a rainy day, so we're going to light the fire and watch cartoons, or we're going to bake, or we're going to, we all have that. So it's just adapting it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's nearly keeping them on a list so you don't forget to, because sometimes you forget you did something that worked really well and you think, God, and you happen back on it and you go, golly, like, how did I forget that? So it's making that mental list or physical list or whatever to go, here's my treasure trove of backup plans for the trickier days that work for me and suit.
It's just really keeping them going until they tire themselves out. That's my goal for the last 4 years.
It's also making sure you get good sleep. Absolutely. And that your medication is working and that your diet is reasonable, because all of those things have huge the impact on how well you feel, and then how well that is that's also part of it.
Yeah. Sounds like it's a lot. You learn as you go.
Absolutely.
You learn what works. You learn from it. You kind of keep a note of the things that worked.
Well, it's not even like, it's just a mental note, really. Like as I said before we came to this interview, I sat down and I wrote out the things and I didn't even know I did half the things. But it's like, oh, wait, you do that and you do that. And we just learn what works for us. And just as human beings, we just repeat the pattern again and again and again, because it makes us happy and it makes our child happy. So I think it's just human nature.
And ultimately, that's what you want, is your child to be happy and 100%. For you to be happy. You know, that's really the ultimate goal, isn't it?
Yeah. We can way down the line, though.
On the priority.
Don't put yourself too far down
the
line.
I think before me at this stage.
I know you talked a little bit there about your son bringing over the chair to sit down beside you. And it strikes me as really important. Is it, well, I suppose, Yvonne, what would you think in terms of how important it is to educate your child in an age appropriate way about the illness, your illness, and, you know, so they understand what you're experiencing, and then, you know, why you can't partake in a really physically demanding activity. I mean, what are your thoughts? You know, should we shield our child from that? Or
I think the people in your life, the people who are important to you, need to have a sense of where you're at and what's good and maybe not so easy at this time. And I think that that's very important across all of the ages. But I think the age appropriate piece is really important. Enough information so it makes sense, enough information that you're comfortable but that you're not tipping past that. Because once the answer is answered, they're happy and they'll trot on. So I think that's, I do think that's really important, because we know that stress makes symptoms worse. So if you are trying to shield and burden and be shield them from a burden and be and protect them and be everything to everyone all of the time, that is going to zap your energy and your capacity, and that is going to magnify the symptoms that you have. So yes, I think the people in your world who know you and love you and get you, bring them in and let them know what you feel they need to know to help you in that age appropriate way. Because I think sometimes what happens is people generally want to do good, but sometimes they can help in the worst way possible. So if you have the conversation, this is helpful. And sometimes it's a case of, I'll do this if you do that, or while I'm doing this, you do that. Then it's more collaborative, and it's less one directional too, which I think has an impact. And as I said, even like with the likes of the lunches, kids like to be involved and they like having little jobs and duties. And we are, as parents, minding them and loving them and giving them opportunities to learn. But their life skills opportunities can also be a help to you too, which is what I say to my own children when I'm saying, put this in the dishwasher. And if the pile is on the bottom of the stairs, it means bring it up when you're going up there. So not being afraid to say, like, we all live in the house together. Because I know we've talked a lot about little children, but like parenting, I don't know when parenting stops. I'm not sure.
I still ring my mum every night. It doesn't,
you know,
stop.
So not being afraid across the age and across the lifespan to share out the things, because that gives everybody the sense of being involved, and that gives everybody capacity for the fun as well as the necessary.
Yeah, and Aoife, I suppose I get the sense from when you're talking about TJ there and the little things that he's doing, I feel like he's almost probably going to be a more compassionate and caring child as a result of that. I think that's really lovely. He understands.
Yeah, he definitely, he does understand. Now, if you asked him, I'm sure he wouldn't tell you anything about it. But he does understand that sometimes mommy's sore, or that I'm not strong today. Like, I don't want him to think that I'm always sick, or that, you know, I'm going to die or anything like that. I just want him to understand that at that moment. But it's hard for healthy adults to understand invisible illness. So for a 4-year-old or a 14-year-old to understand it is very difficult. So sometimes I might wear the splints, even if I'm not 100% needing to wear the splints, just so that he can see, oh, wait, it's like wearing a plaster sometimes for me, because it's like, wait, I need to just be a little bit more cautious around mammy or things like that. But he is very aware of even the other things around me, like so heated blankets and like the shoes and just your other stuff, and even my medication. Like, he knows they're my tablets and he can't go near my tablets. And then I take biologics, so I don't, not like I'm telling him to come over here till I inject myself, but if he sees me injecting myself, it's not a problem. If I was diabetic, I wouldn't hide my insulin injections from him, so I don't see the difference. It's something that I've to live with. I'm not forcing anyone else to live with it, I don't mean that, but it's something that we all have to live with, you know. And it's just a way, like, I know we say that, what kind of parent are you going to be? But this is the only opportunity I have to be a parent. This is my life, and I have to live it for the next, hopefully, 60 odd years. So, you know, I want to live it the best way I can. I want my son to have the best experience that he can, and that's with a healthy man. So, you know, I have to be the best I can be. I don't have a choice, really.
Yeah. And you touched on having an invisible illness there, and I think that's something that a lot of people with arthritis would struggle with. Yvonne, I wonder, you know, for someone who feels misunderstood, a parent might be misunderstood by other parents when it comes to getting involved in activities. You know, I'm thinking about things like play dates or volunteering at school events or at the sports, like the local football or soccer team. That can be quite difficult or challenging, I would imagine, for parents.
It can. And I think it comes back to what Aoife was saying about planning and being organised. And I think it comes down to thinking, well, what do I want to do here? And what am I being railroaded into doing? And maybe finding a way to press pause on the railroads, and but plan for the things you want to do. So by planning your time, to offer your time, if that's what it is, to do a collection outside a supermarket for a fundraiser or to sell tickets or to whatever. If that's something you want to do, opt in consciously. Don't opt in because you've been bounced into it, but plan how you're going to manage in the moment that you're fed and nourished and warm in comfortable shoes and all those really practical things, and plan for the rest beforehand, like you were saying, Aoife, and plan for maybe a rest afterwards. But it's also, I suppose, a real thing around saying, being confident to know this is what I want to do and this is what I can do. And work within that. Work within what you want to do and what you're able for. Focus on ability and capacity, and trying to, sometimes with some of those different activities, it's easier to say, I'll do this. You know, if you know things are coming, it's kind of planning to say, well, do you know, I can drop Tom or I can, you know, you can offer what you're able to do, and that helps manage maybe the load that you're given. So I think the big thing there is really, it's permission to say no, and it's confidence to know what you want to do, and then planning that piece out, the in task but the before and after bit too, so that you're more like, does that feel fair?
I'm not at the Parents Association stage yet, so I don't have bake sales or anything like that, but you know, we have chaperones for tours and stuff like that. So what I do is, I'm not going to shake buckets standing out in the cold for 8 hours a day or pack bags. It's not, I can't pack my own shopping bags, I'm not going to pack someone else's, unfortunately. It may sound terrible, but as well, I don't, like you were saying about the confidence, I, like, I'm sure none of the other mammies and daddies in my son's school know that I have an issue or anything like that. And I don't really care. You know, like, if they think that I'm selfish for not joining in, it doesn't bother me. Like, you know, I know that someone else is going to do it. Like, there's lots of other mammies and daddies out there that can do it. You don't have to do it. So it might be something like, I'll do the social media for them, or I'll do up posters, or I'll collect the kids, or I'll bring them for ice cream afterwards, or whatever. But it's not going to be something that takes a huge amount of my physical or mental well-being, because it's not worth it to me in the long run, because it takes too long to recover from, and I'm just not willing to give that time. Is so special to me. Like 5 years ago, whatever, I'll recover in my own time. Now you can't just retreat to the bed for 2 or 3 days and get up in your own time. You have to, I'm on. You're on all the time. So you don't have that luxury.
And that confidence that you're showing in your own self-management. I know what works for me. Mm-hmm. I know what will derail me. Yeah. So I know what I'm going to do and what I'm not. And I think that's the thing. It's the confidence. It's the permission to say no. It's mm-hmm. the permission to say yes, this, not that. Okay. And that's fine. Because again, it comes back to the people who know you and love you matter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they're what matter. And I think that confidence, nobody, like, everyone's experience is so individual. Mm-hmm. And if you know and understand your condition and what keeps you well and what can make you more vulnerable to flares, and you make decisions around life around that, then that's what will keep you well, which is important. Yeah.
But I have to say that for me anyway, that confidence has come with having arthritis for 17 years. I've learned over the years what works for me and what doesn't. And because I'm 35 now, so I have a little bit more experience of life, and I know to slow down and that I don't recover as well, even from drinking or anything like that. But just for people that are kind of newly diagnosed and go, maybe I should have it all together, like, it doesn't come like that, you know. And there's there's thousands of people in Ireland with arthritis going through the same thing. So we are there to ask questions for, and to, like, if it's the helpline or the Facebook form or thing or whatever works for you, or just even contacting Arthritis Ireland and they'll put you in touch with somebody. But it's just asking the questions and finding what works for you. And sometimes that takes 6 months, sometimes it takes 6 years, but it is definitely achievable.
And then just on a final note, Aoife, what are your top tips for people out there who are about to become parents, or indeed for someone who may be listening and is struggling now as a parent?
plan. I should get paid by the plan. I would say to plan everything. If you're just about to have a baby, then the usual things that people will tell any new parents, you know, to batch cook and arrange help, but just amplify it. So if you think you need a week's worth of food, you need 2 weeks. If you need one parent to come over, you need three or four. You know, you do need an awful lot of help. Don't worry about cleaning the house. I don't think I've cleaned mine in about 4 years. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, nobody's coming to grade you. Like, you are there for that baby. And that's all that matters. And what I would say is to have a good relationship and liaise with your rheumatologist. So when you're like just after having the baby, a lot of people have, I don't know the figures anecdotally, but a lot of people have postpartum flares because of the hormones and everything like that. So whether it's getting a course of steroids or getting a steroid injection or whatever the rheumatologist gives you, but getting in touch with them and saying, I need to make an appointment with you a week after I have the baby, or to be able to ring your nurse practitioner in your rheumatology office and say that, and just that you have a good relationship and you're keeping in touch with them, not that you're waiting until your next appointment and then going in like in bits. So you don't want to have that either. As I said, things like bedside cribs, bottle baking machines, breastfeeding pillows, they're all great. What I would say, if you're trying to conceive, again, I would say have a good relationship with your rheumatologist and your GP and things like that, because there are a lot of new guidelines regarding medications, even with men and methotrexate and things like that. So a lot of that is very important, because a lot of, when I was pregnant, a lot of the obstetric professionals were telling me that I couldn't be on certain medications and painkillers, but I knew I could be because I had done the research and I knew I could breastfeed with certain drugs and things like that. And that's so important, because it helped me to feel as well as I could. So things like that. And as far as I know, there are new guidelines for obstetric doctors, for people with rheumatological conditions, that you get things like early scans and stuff like that. So you can go to the early pregnancy unit and get a scan at like 6 weeks or so, so that you don't have to wait to 12 weeks. And you can make sure, especially because the amount of medication that you're on, you might have a lot of anxiety around that. It's really important to liaise with your doctors and just see, because it's not just about medicine. It's so much more. It really, really is. And also work on your toolbox. But as we've all said, it comes as you go through it. So there's not much you can prepare for in the toolbox, but and do your OT exercises, of course.
I think even some of the parenting courses that are available and parenting supports, it's good to know about those too. And a lot of schools offer them through Parents Council, or you'll hear about different Parents Plus courses, because I think then that even helps you see that's a peer situation where you're learning from other parents, not just parents with arthritis. And there's another opportunity to handpick the tools for your toolbox that are relevant to you, but also the shared experience to go, it's not just me as somebody who has arthritis, it's me as a parent, because this parent is also finding the same thing, but actually they suggested this and I'm going to try it. So kind of those across the age of the children as they get older, I think sometimes we really think about when they're small and they need our physical help as well as our love. But then as they get bigger, they can wash themselves and maybe do their lunch or do their shoelaces, but they need you to be there emotionally present and kind of thinking about how you can do your best with that parenting role and be confident with that aspect of parenting role. And some of the parenting courses can just give you confidence as much as new information too. And I think that that's really worth kind of thinking, it's there, they're out there, they're online, they're on listen backs. So just again, the permission to say, I'm going to just find out a little bit more and take from this what's relevant to my space and my world is something to think about too.
Thank you both very much for your time. We really appreciate it, and for your insights. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's all from this episode of Inflammation Nation. But don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or as they always say, wherever you get your podcasts. For further information about arthritis, you can visit our website arthritisireland.ie, or contact our helpline on 0818 252 846. See you next time. Inflammation Nation is supported by Pfizer.